holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. Saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and ever shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there in power and love and purity.
On the fourth verse, we're going to have the instruments drop off, and we're going to sing this one a cappella. You give it your all. Let's sing it out together.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Beautiful singing.
All right, we're going to take our Bibles and we're going to go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 4.
I didn't plan on them singing that song. I didn't ask them to sing that song that we just sang. But it does kind of fit in with what we're going to be talking about this morning. I'm just going to read one verse to start. We're going to come back to this chapter and read the whole thing. But just to start, we're going to go and read one verse, in fact, the last verse of the chapter, Revelation chapter 4. And we will read verse 11. So Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this message this morning. Our Heavenly Father, God, I do pray that you'd help us today as we begin the summer months, as we stop and we remember those who have given their lives. It's kind of the official kickoffs, so to speak, of summer. And so, God, I do pray that you help us as we seek to navigate the time that we have, these few months, for you. I pray that you help us to take into account all that you want us to do with our lives. And maybe take the focus off of what we want to do and our pleasure and put it on what you want us to do and your pleasure. And so, God, I pray that you help us this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can be seated.
So we are approaching the summer months, and that's exciting. It's a wonderful time to have the weather is usually really nice. It's warm. The water's warm, and for some, maybe during the summer months, the schedules become a little less full of responsibility. maybe just a little bit, because now school is done. I know a lot of sports teams will take the summer off. Some of them do, some of them don't. That's how you know which ones are from God and which ones are not. There's sometimes a little bit of free time during the summertime, especially for the kids. And perhaps that means for you a little more recreation and some pleasure and some rest, which is really good. And there's nothing wrong with taking some time off and enjoying family and friends. In fact, I think that is healthy. That's important to have rest, to have that time when you set aside time to get alone with God or get alone with your family or just take the schedule and clear it. It's an important part of our health as human beings. Rest is a part of God's plan. He rested. We rest. And we actually become more productive when we have a time to rest, to let our bodies recuperate, to let our mind recuperate, to go back at the task with a fresh mind, with a fresh body. If you continually wear yourself down day after day, week after week, you're going to become less effective. So rest is important, recreation is important, and having some pleasure is important. I want to encourage everybody, find some rest. This is a good deal. It's a good thing to get some rest within God's plan for your life. If your plan is all rest, that's not God's plan for you, but some rest is. We're getting there, Oweta. When it comes to recreation and pleasure, it is sometimes difficult to fit everything into our schedules. And we have work responsibilities, which, to be honest with you, those are elevated on Kauai because of the cost of living. There's a guy I was talking to just yesterday. He goes, "Man, I don't know how you guys do it." He was from Colorado. He goes, "Walmart here is insanely expensive." And I'm like, "What?" Mike, have you gone to Safeway? I mean, Walmart's the deals, man. Walmart's good. It's like, no, you guys' Walmart is expensive. Whoa. And so to make those cost of living, we have to work harder, work more, and make more money to be able to afford our deals at Walmart. That's a big cost of living. And then many of us have intense schedules with our kids to help our kids develop and grow with school and extracurriculars and sports and all of that. And these are important. They're necessary. They're good. So we're left with too much activity and not enough time. So how do we fit in rest? For some, a solution has been to cut out church activities. You know, I'm not going to go to church. We'll just take that time and rest. And I understand, because rest is important. You can get weary. You can get exhausted, and you can get frustrated, and you can get have difficulty. So you need some rest. And so one of those things they say, well, might as well just cut out church. After all, we can't do everything. Sometimes it's for a few weeks. Sometimes it's for a whole summer. Sometimes it's every week, but the big ones like Easter and Christmas. We'll go to those big ones. We'll stay Christian in that respect, but we're going to rest the rest of the time. Maybe we come back for a few weeks, for a few months, if things start to get bad in our life, and I'll see that happen. Maybe something will happen in our life, be a struggle, be a difficulty, and they're going to be at church every week. If you're there, let me just say to begin, I feel your pain. Like, I'm not here to say that I don't understand the struggle. It's a struggle. It's tough. It's difficult. It's hard. But one of the justifications that I want to address this morning for replacing church with other good things is this idea. I don't need to go to church to worship God. I can worship God while I camp at Puli Hale. I can worship God while I am fishing. I can worship God while I'm at home resting. And I even heard one person say, when I'm at church, I think about fishing, and when I'm fishing, I think about God. By the way, I've been to Puli Hale. And I don't see a lot of people out there worshiping God. I'll be honest with you. I'm just being straight, being real with you, all right? There's not a lot of church services happening out there. And even fishing. Sure, you do. Right? Yeah, right. But it's an ideology. It really, it's an illogical justification. But the interesting thing is this justification is that, the interesting thing with it is that it has a hint of truth. Do you have to go to church to worship God? The reality is, you can worship God in His creation. You can. In fact, His creation will actually inspire worship. You know, when you see the heavens, and that's one of the things that's amazing about Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. And it is true, we can worship God wherever we go. And that's an exciting thing. And you can worship God wherever you happen to be in that moment. You can have a little time when you identify God as being supreme and God as being the creator. And you can praise Him for that. And that's an exciting thing. In fact, you can worship God anywhere, much like green eggs and ham can be enjoyed, right? You can worship God in a boat. You can worship God with a goat. You can worship God in the rain, and you can worship God on a train, and in the dark, in a car, and in a tree. You can worship God with a fox. You can worship God in a house. You can worship God with a mouse. You can worship God here. You can worship God there. You can worship God anywhere. It's true. This is true. But there is a fundamental flaw with the idea that you can replace church with recreation and call it worship. That's not true. That's not right. That doesn't please God. And as a Christian, we have to identify that. Yes, get out in creation, worship God, recognize He created it all, praise Him for it, tell others He created it, but don't neglect His ordination or ordained organism of church and call it worship. I wanted to take some time this morning and explain some important truths from God's Word that I think will help us navigate our summer. We got some exciting things this summer I think are really going to help our church. We are, as I said, moving to two services. We're going to have one at 8 a.m. in the morning next Sunday, 8 a.m. in the morning. There will be no children's ministries at 8 a.m. Then at 10 a.m. we're having our normal service. There'll be children's ministries. And we're hoping to provide a little bit more space. I don't think you can look at our church right now and say, man, they have so much space. Oh. I've been to a few churches like that. And, you know, there's this thing inside of me that I have to work at because I'm like, man, look at their space. Look at their parking. We don't have that problem here. And then everybody I tell, they're so nice. They tell me that's a good problem to have. And it is, but we're hoping to solve it over the summer months with going to two services. And so pick your service and come enjoy. We're going to have a great time. And then we're doing the Wednesday night thing. And every Wednesday night down at 5:30 at the park, we're going to meet, play some volleyball, play some games, and have some meal and have a little service down there. It'll be a lot of fun. We encourage you, strengthen you, grow you, build fellowship within the church. And then I want you to mark July 21st on your calendar. Because that day we are going, and actually the 22nd, 23rd as well, we're going to have revival meetings, and it's official, we're going to do it. We'll say more about it after the service, but I'm excited about this. And we'll explain more about it after the service, but we got a lot of stuff going on in the summer. And I want you to be able to navigate it well and still recreate and still have rest and still have these different things that you need, because you can burn yourself out. And so I want us to look at a few things from the God's Word that will help us navigate the summer. First of all, and I know this is somewhat elementary, but I think it's important that we identify, and that is that God is living. And here's one of my point with this. We live in a culture that has multiple religions and gods. And I say gods little g, right? Because they are. especially in Hawaii. There's a lot of mixed cultures here that bring their different religions with them. And the thing is I grew up in Montana. That's where I grew up. And in Montana, there is one God. That's it. That's, I mean, there is no Buddhist temples anywhere. Nowhere. Like, not within 1,000 miles. Like, it's for real. I'm not even joking. That's the way it is. There is nothing Hindu. There's nothing New Agey. It's like you either worship nothing, which is, there's people that are like that, or you worship God. There's no middle ground. There's nothing else. There is, I'll say this, there is a little bit, if you go to the reservations, the Native Americans have their culture that they do, but even then, it's mostly cultural. They even those people, if you ask them, they'll say, yeah, we're Christians. Christianity is the major religion, even amongst the Native Americans. And again, there's not a Buddhist temple within 1,000 miles, at least. I didn't Google this, but you can if you want to, if you feel like correcting me. Hinduism is foreign. New Ageism is not there. There's cults of Christianity, but again, it's nothing. There's little otherwise. So when I came to Kauai, I was a little bit shocked to drive down the road. Whoa! Buddhist temple! Like, there's one right there! Whoa! That's the way I was like. I was like, wow, look at that. And then there's Hindu temple. Whoa! What is that guy doing? It's like, and then you see all these different religions and coming here. And the thing is all of these religions worship an empty deity, a dead deity. And the thing is the gods are lifeless. They're blocks of wood at best. They have no life. And because you cannot please or displease them, how you worship them is much, very much personal preference. Kind of is. It's kind of like, hey, I know there's rules and systems within these things, but in many ways, it's like, hey, whatever you can kind of do, you do. Kind of how they do it. I understand that, and I can go into that this morning, is all the different facets of it, but there's definitely those that are more dedicated and less dedicated, but the reality is the difference there is doesn't have huge implications for them. Jehovah, God, the Creator, however, is the living God. And we see this all throughout the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how yet ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." The God of the Bible, the God that we worship, our God, because he is living, can be pleased and displeased with our actions. Remember the story of Cain and Abel, the first two brothers? Remember, they brought their sacrifices to God. Both of them were worshiping God. Both of them had a heart to obey God in some aspect. Cain brought what was important to him, the fruits of his harvest, and Abel brought what God apparently had said he should brought, which was a sacrifice of a lamb. One was pleasing to God, one was displeasing to God. And the result of God's displeasure with Cain caused him to be jealous of Abel, and he actually murdered him. So it's important for us to identify from the onset that God is in fact interested in what we do and don't do, and some of the things that we do not bring him any pleasure. Yes, your intentions matter. Yes, your motives matter, but so does your obedience to God's word. You can say, well, I had good intentions. Did Cain not have good intentions? Yes, he did. Did he not have good motives? Yes, his motives and his intentions were good. His sacrifice was not. So you cannot ignore God's commands and purpose for the local church and think that he is going to be pleased with your substitution. And that's the point. Because I talk to people about this. Well, God, I can worship God wherever I want. And that's true, you can. Yes, yes, yes. Is God pleased with you skipping church? owed. Right? But somehow we justify it because instead of going to church like he told us to, we're going to go out and do whatever we want. And we're going to worship him while we're at it, right? I know it always happens. And you can't do that. It doesn't work that way. We can't just substitute and make whatever we want. We can't just order it how we want. We have to do it how he says to do it. So that brings me to the next point. Church is more than worship. Do we worship God at church? Yes. Yes. Of course. But God's design for church is much more than gathering together and singing some songs of worship to him. Church, one of the purposes for church, and there are many, one of the purposes for church is to hear the scriptures preached. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, these things write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou hast to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's church. And there is a way that we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. There's definite things that please God and displease God with how we act within the church of God. So one of those things that we do with the scriptures in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we don't want that. For our church, we want to hear the truth of God's word preached, even if it at times is a little bit uncomfortable, because it's the truth. We want to hear the truth. We don't want to be coddled. We don't want to be having our ears scratched. We don't want to be told what we want to hear. Because you don't improve if somebody just tells you what you want to hear every single time. Especially if there's areas where you need improvement. But then there's something even more important. Well, I don't know if it's more important, but equally important. And that is God has given us a mission to do together as a church. And he's formed us together as a body. Each part is important within our local body. And we work together as a body to fulfill this mission that you cannot fulfill by yourself. You need everybody to do it. You need our church family to do it. And that is, we know, we call it the Great Commission, we call it different things. I was thinking about this today. There's going to be people who are going to be great at winning people to Christ. And then there's going to be great at people who can disciple. And maybe those two will be the same person. And that's great too, but sometimes they're not. And then you'll have people who are good at edifying and building up and encouraging people who are a little bit discouraged. And then you'll have people that are good at coming along and they can correct with tact without offending the person and say, hey, we want to improve in this area. And we need all of that. And that's important to what we're doing. And as we grow. But I want to read for you this verse. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Some of those offices have been passed away, but some of them remain. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. They henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure by every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Beautiful. But it begins with the leaders of the church perfecting the saints so that the saints may do the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ may be edified and built up and grown. And that's what we do. That's the mission. You can't do that by yourself. Nobody can. And by the way, we need to engage in that process as we're a part of the church. And that's one of the, give you the goals of Over Summer, is getting everybody engaged in that process. But the church also prays together. The church loves each other. The church edifies each other. It provides each other's needs. And of course, we worship together. But it's more than worship. We need to understand that. And finally, though, is this. Our lives are for His pleasure, not ours. There's several things in the Bible that I'm really thankful for, and one of those is a glimpse into heaven. He gives us several glimpses into heaven, what it's like. And it's pretty amazing. In fact, most of those glimpses are overwhelming. They're awe-inspiring. When we read them, we say, whoa, wow, that's amazing. And we sang the song, the last song that we sang before the message, Holy, Holy, Holy. And that actually, that phrase is actually repeated in Revelation chapter 4 as an account of what's being said in heaven. And what we see here is God is being worshipped by His creation, by His creatures that He created. And I want you to go back to Revelation chapter 4 because I want to read the entire chapter. Don't worry, it's only 11 verses. But it's a glimpse. Have you ever wondered how, you know, we talk about different worship styles and things, but have you ever thought about how God would, what would God do if He was in charge? How would He make it? This is how He would make it. It's amazing. This is, He built this. This is His idea. And it's in heaven, and it's glorious. So Revelation chapter 4, let's read it. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were the trumpet speaking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was like to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, 24. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning under the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion, and the second beast was like unto a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, that liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. When I read that, I go, wow. Whoa. That's magnificent. I don't even know what it all looks like. What is that? It's impressive. It's amazing. Holy, holy, holy. And we could spend a lot of time breaking down this passage, but I want to focus on that last verse that was part of their worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. All things were created by God for the purpose of bringing God pleasure. And this includes you and me. It's us. We're in this category too. God made man, human, man, in his image for his pleasure. It's amazing. And the only way that we can bring pleasure to God is to obey his commands. You cannot bring pleasure to God by disobeying his commands. It doesn't work. It doesn't. No way. Can't do it. It doesn't matter how you intentions. It doesn't matter anything. It just doesn't work. And as Christians, we get to this point where we try to justify our misbehavior. And it doesn't work. And we got to get back. We got to humble ourselves. We got to humble our hearts and say, God, it's about you, not me. You see, most people, when we look at religion today, in respect to what brings us pleasure. Think about it. We're going to make an announcement in just a few minutes about Memorial Day picnic tomorrow. Hope you come. But I thought about this when I said, man, we need to change that next time, because when we thought about that picnic, when we were planning that picnic, you know whose pleasure we had in mind? Ours. Mine. You know? Watermelon! Hamburgers, hot dogs, volleyball, water slides, me! It's fun! And I have to confess that not one time did we have the thought, what could we do that brings God pleasure? We're still going to have watermelon, don't worry. So I don't know if I want to go now. Oh, come. We're going to have fun. Trust me, it's for your pleasure. But we need to stop and think about this stuff. What is it about what we're doing that's for God? Because if we're not careful, how we plan our services, how we plan our outreaches, how we plan our events is all about us and our experience. And I want us to kind of change that mindset. Seriously, if you want to have a big event with lots of fun, food, and pleasure, you're going to get a pretty good crowd. I think that. And we're hoping to have one tomorrow. But try announcing a prayer meeting. Or better yet, call a fast. Nope. Because why? It's not for our pleasure. Fasts are not about your pleasure. They're not. They stink for your pleasure. But they're about, in a visible, tangible way, saying, God, this isn't about my pleasure. This is about me getting right before you and me saying, God, this is you. This is about you, not me. And I'm going to demonstrate that by withholding something that would bring me pleasure for you. And that's why we fast. That's why we should fast from different things. Because it's not about our pleasure. And you start talking about that. I mean, that's something that we don't hear a lot of in churches. Again, we're going to fast. And that's something that's interesting. We had the day of prayer, the National Day of Prayer recently. And if you're in our growth groups, you saw that it was something that there was a similar event that Abraham Lincoln started. And it was the National Day of Prayer and fasting and humiliation. But you see, humiliation and fasting aren't really pleasurable. So we'll just kind of, National Day of Prayer, that'll work. That we can do without too much displeasure. But fasting?
Humiliation? Ah, we don't want to do that. So are we to live a pleasurable life or a pleasureless life? No. That's not the point at all. Again, I established at the very beginning that we need to have times where God intends you to have recreation and rest and pleasure. It's part of his design. But he comes first. And we get our pleasure from his. And this is the key. This is what we have to learn to do as Christians, is that we seek him first. His righteousness first. And all these things shall be added unto you. He doesn't seek to strip us of all of these things. He just comes first. And that has to be our mindset. Again, doesn't mean you can't have a Memorial Day picnic. Just he comes first. Don't miss that point. There's nothing wrong with tasting good food, right? And enjoying it. That's good. But there are times when we say, you know what? I'm going to put this aside. It's not something that we force on each other out of guilt or anything like that. It's just you, between you and God, that says, hey, God comes first. Even, again, don't miss the point. You cannot bring God pleasure by disobeying his commands. And no matter how much you enjoy, even if you call it worship, even if we call it church, it's not good. We learned last week that there are some things that church people could do that the Apostle Paul says, it's better for you not even to do that. Don't even do that. Don't even gather together because you're messing this up. Will this please God? Will it please God? Why? That's another question. We've got to follow that up because, oh yeah, for sure it will. Yeah, he's all for this. Why? Because I'm all for this. And God's not against me. My purpose this morning, as we head into summer, look at your schedule. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? Is he coming first? We have a couple months here, 2 months. For our church, we're doing June and July. I know for some people it goes into August, but for 2 months, we're going to do some different things. We'll give you all the announcements. It's going to be a lot of fun. But it shouldn't be about fun. It should be about his pleasure. And honestly, if you love him, that's pretty fun. Seeing God worshiped and glorified and pleased is a lot of fun as a Christian. It is. I like that. That's something, as my wife, that's something I live, I love to make her pleased, happy. It's a joy for me. I get pleasure out of her happiness. Makes me happy. And the same is true for God. When we take and we sacrifice and we put ourselves second or behind him and put him first, that in all things he might have the preeminence, it should bring us as a Christian great joy. Because he's our Savior. He's our Creator. He's our God. Answer that question from Scripture. Does this please God? Am I putting him first? So don't come to me with this, well, Pastor, you can worship God anywhere, and so I'm going to ignore his commands. It doesn't work. You can worship God anywhere, and I hope you do. But don't disobey his commands. Do what he says. Be obedient. Be faithful. Be consistent. And enjoy it. Enjoy this life he's given to us. Because it is good. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. I thank you for this church. God, we are excited about summer. It's here.
And we're going to get busy about serving you. But God, I hope and I ask that we would ask that question is, does this please you? And can we answer that from Scripture? Not just from what we think. Because oftentimes what we think is just us getting our own way anyway. I know I'm guilty of that. God, would you be glorified this summer? Would you receive the honor this summer? And would we bring you pleasure? So God, I do pray that you'd help us today as we seek to make a difference. We pray that you bless this time of invitation. With every head bowed and every head closed, I want to ask you this question. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I didn't talk a lot about salvation this morning. It wasn't a super gospel-filled message, but I want to give the time to give the gospel. And that is, if you're here today, the Bible says that we're all sinners. We're born sinners because of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. As by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of us are sinners. And the Bible says there's a price for that sin. The price for sin, as the Bible says, is the wages of sin is death. That's separation from God. And the place the Bible defines as hell. It's a place of torment. It's a place of punishment. But the gift of God is eternal life. God has a gift for you, eternal life. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here to say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I have some doubt about that. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. That's why every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't want anybody looking around, so for sake of privacy. But if you're here or in the overflow, if you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior, if you'll raise your hand, I'll see it. And you can put it right back down. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, would this summer, would you make the commitment to living for His pleasure? The Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times shall come because men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I hope that for our church this summer, we'd flip that, that we were lovers of God more than lovers of our own pleasure. May God, you bless our church as we seek to make a difference for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go to hymn number 500. The song is called Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior,
on the third as the last.
Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass.